Welcome to this Financial Advisor podcast, where I speak to South Africa's leading financial advisors. Today I have Craig Tall of the Cape Town-based Crew Invest business with me in studio. He is a CFP and one of the founding members of Crew Invest back in 2004. Craig, welcome to the MoneyWeb studio. The business is 15 years old. Tell us a bit of this journey and currently what you specialize in.
Thank you, Rack. And it doesn't feel like we've been around 15 years. It seems to have gone by a lot quicker than that. So when we set up in 2004, it was my wife and I that were the sort of founders of the business, and we wanted to do financial planning the right way. You know, it was a time when FASE was about to be implemented, and so we understood what the implications were, and we saw that as creating a great opportunity in the marketplace, simply because we saw a lot of resistance to that in the general broker market. So we saw a huge opportunity to do things differently at that point in time.
But what is the right way? We've seen a lot of regulations thrown at financial advisors, and in many cases it seems like a tick-box approach. How do you do it differently than the other guys?
Yeah, it's very simple at the end of the day. I think you have to begin with the client in mind. And, you know, if you base everything you do on how you would want to be treated as a client, then it's very easy from there. The difficulty, however, is how do you build a remuneration model that makes that possible to sustain? And that's the challenge that I think the greater industry faces. But if you begin with that principle in mind and you work back from there, that, in our view, is the only way to do it.
Do you get many customers or clients or prospective clients walk through the door and they know more about your cost structure than they actually do about financial planning or actually investments? Do you think there's an overemphasis on fees?
Sometimes there is, and I think a lot of the time people are sort of driven to look for the cheapest alternative because they think that's going to result in the best outcome for them, and they're not really looking at the entire value proposition. And that is obviously of concern because that will diminish the possibility of them meeting their lifestyle objectives. So we're quite keen to ensure that they see the whole picture, the holistic picture. And we obviously position our value add in that way so they can make informed decisions about whether they see any value in paying the fees that we quote them. And they also have the advantage of being able to opt out at any stage should they feel they're not getting what we had promised them up front. So we really do hang our hats on the advice that we offer, and we really are required to consistently and continuously show value. Otherwise, we essentially out of the job, we offer their payroll.
What is your fee structure?
So it is quite complex because there are different needs from different clients, but it typically reverts back to being remunerated on assets under management on a sliding scale. We've looked at charging by the hour. The downside of that is it creates a perverse incentive, like we've seen in the legal and medical professions, not to pick on any other profession, but we don't see that there's an incentive for the client to make use of us for decisions that could potentially be to their disadvantage. So they'd end up withholding advice or not paying for the advice if working on that model. Whereas if they know they're effectively paying us on a retainer, they're more inclined to make contact with us to seek our advice on important decisions that they need to make.
Well, you've been in the business for, Crew Invest for 15 years, and a lot has changed during this past 15 years. Has the depressed economic outlook and, poorly performing markets in South Africa, has that changed the way you provide advice or structure plans?
Not really. I think we were quite well coached in our early stages of providing investment advice on setting expectations low and setting expectations at a reasonable level, but also coaching clients on the fact that markets go through cycles and there will be long periods of time where markets will underperform. And we tended to say to clients when things go badly, not if. In our view, we've prepared them quite well for these types of events that we've seen take place over the last 4 or 5 years. which has served us well because it's and served the clients well. I think that's the key issue, because they haven't made knee-jerk decisions and haven't reacted on a knee-jerk basis. So I think if they're well educated up front and they know that they're going to be good and bad periods, it makes it a lot easier for them to get through these bad periods and stay invested and stay in the game.
Do you see knee-jerk reactions? You know, you get many different types of clients. One would be somebody that only pitches up for the meeting once a year and then seems to be very surprised at what he or she sees. And the other person may be phoning you weekly, you know, complaining about short-term developments.
Yeah. You know, again, we invest heavily in our clients in that take-on stage, making sure that we educate them, show them, you know, past trends, history, how markets have performed, not just locally but globally over the past sort of, you know, 10, 20, 100 years, as much data as we've got, just to prep them for those instances. So we find we're in a fortunate position that we don't get that many calls, emails, concerns when things go badly. We're quite fortunate in that regard.
But that's an ongoing process to educate people of, you know, where their plans stand within the current environment. How often do you do that?
So it depends again on the client. Certain years they will need our advice and interaction more. We call those the transition years. So when they're transitioning out of, for example, formal employment into retirement or selling a business or going through a life-changing event like a divorce, a marriage, etc. But typically it's once a year for the sort of long-term retiree who needs to make a decision around living annuity drawdowns, tax implications, etc. So those types of discussions would typically happen annually. Now, obviously, there's a lot of interaction with those clients telephonically during the course of the year, but that's more on an ad hoc basis. And then there's obviously the regular communication strategy that our business embarks on with those clients.
One topic that is probably high on the agenda of any investor is how much money do you put offshore? We've seen the local market underperform international, especially U.S. markets, for several years now. And there is a perception that, you know, take as much out as you can. How do you see this debate?
Yeah, we get quite concerned when clients want to take money abroad for the wrong reasons. We again go back to the basics, and the basics really in our view are, what are your reasons for wanting to take money abroad? Is it for greater returns? Is it to diversify? We explain to them how much diversity is in their current investment strategy. Most of them are pleasantly surprised at how invested they already are in the global economy. We get quite cautious about the timing of when people want to take money offshore. It's generally at the wrong time. It's like the purchase of Bitcoin. People only want to buy it when they've heard how well it's done. When they hear how badly it's done, they're not interested. And that just talks to understanding the psychology of money and understanding how people make financial decisions. That we're not really hardwired to make good financial decisions. We're almost hardwired to do the wrong thing.
What would be a wrong reason to take money out?
When the news is at its worst, it's typically when people want to run, and that's proven to have been the very worst time to have taken money offshore. We don't need to look much further back than 2001 to realize what that decision would have done to erode people's wealth. And that was really on the back of fear. So we've got to be very mindful that as human beings, we're hardwired to fight or to flight when there's bad news. When we're being hunted down by a lion, we're not hardwired to stand there and face it. And unfortunately, investment markets require us to do exactly the opposite of what we're hardwired to do.
Yeah, don't invest based on hope, greed,
exactly,
or fear. And hope probably is the most dangerous one. Just lastly, asset allocation is also critical. How much responsibility do you take for asset allocation, or do you bunt it to asset managers?
We do bunt it to asset managers. We believe our focus is on understanding what a client's lifestyle objectives are, lifestyle dreams, and then outsource to a multi-manager the building of the portfolio dependent on what sort of return the client is able to stomach from a risk perspective, and actually what return return the client would need to meet their retirement objectives or their investment objectives. So really taking those two measures, we then outsource the building of that portfolio and the asset allocation to a multi-manager who would construct that on behalf of our clients.
Well, Craig, thank you for coming in and good luck with the future.
No, thanks very much, Rack. It's been an absolute pleasure.
That was Craig Tor. He's a CFP and a founding member of Crew Invest. It's a Cape Town-based financial advice firm.